silence. Stone is broken. In the night, when the wind no longer moans and the small shadows go into hiding, stone sometimes whispers. Stone sometimes speaks. Stone sometimes sends its children plunging into the abyss. Sometimes a tendril of colorful mist rises to caress the figure pinned to the tilting throne. Shadows scamper playfully about the plain, glittering in the moonlight, devouring one another and growing stronger. Their memories are as old as stone. They remember freedom. Sometimes the leaning throne slips a millionth of an inch, tilting farther. This happens more and more frequently now. Stone shudders. Eternity sneers as it devours its own tail. This cold feast is almost finished. Even death is restless. Chapter 34. I could hear One Eye cursing fate in general, and several Vedna Tanglians in particular. One wheel of the wagon had become pinched between boulders, and the soldiers weren't getting it pried out fast enough to suit the little wizard. He'd been in a foul temper all morning. I do believe he thought we would not continue on south after we won at Chirandaprash. I do believe he thought the old man would be content to occupy the pass, then withdraw to warmer climes and wait for summer. Where was Long Shadow going to go? Home. And because of the earthquake, home was a house that would not be completed any time soon. So where was the big hurry? What kind of tunnel vision fanatic didn't even take time out for one good drunk after winning a battle so huge and obviously unwinnable going in? One Eye had been saying all this and a lot more from the minute Croker had told him to move out. One Eye was not a happy trooper. He was even more unhappy because I got to ride. My fever and chills thing kept coming and going. The captain saw that as a good excuse to keep me near Smoke, against whom he continued to caution me regularly. I didn't tell him that walking with the ghost was becoming as unattractive as attractive, that it was getting scary out there. I hadn't talked it over with One Eye yet either. I knew I should. I would not like myself much anymore if something happened because I failed to warn them. But I did not want to cry wolf either. One Eye hadn't mentioned running into anything unusual during his occasional trips out. Maybe I was letting my imagination get the best of me. I was in pretty good shape for the moment. A little shaken by the ride, but neither feverish nor fighting a chill. Might be an opportune time to take a look around. Outside, One Eye snarled something at Ty Day. "Not a good idea, One Eye," I snapped in Jewel City's dialect. "He'd as soon kick your ass as look at you." "Ha! That ought to be interesting. See what Jojo does. Might even wake him up." Like most company members, One Eye had a Nguyen Bao bodyguard. His was Chou Dai Zhou, as unobtrusive and unambitious a bodyguard as ever lived. He was around only because the tribal elders had decreed it. He didn't seem to have much interest in saving One Eye from himself or anyone else. He hadn't seen Zhou 4 times in the last month. I couldn't find Soul Catcher. I knew she was there, and Smoke wasn't fighting me, but the woman was operating.